Saturday, June 16th, 2018. Welcome to the Daily Wrap-Up, a concise show dedicated to bringing you the most relevant independent news as we see it from the last 24 hours. I want to begin today by addressing a concern many have expressed from my last show, and which was partly due to an odd glitch in my video that was not in the raw file, by the way, that happened to cut out when I was expressing just how much of a distraction mainstream media can be. But I also noted on the FBI story that I was referring to. And in the moment that was cut out, I said that the FBI story in my eyes is a distraction, but not because it's not important or fake or that the FBI should not be held accountable. Quite the opposite. And anyone that has been watching the show for a while knows just how long I harped on the lack of accountability of the FBI, especially following the Nunes memo that was supposed to either bring down the deep state or threaten national security, depending on which side of the false two-party divide you chose to listen to, yet it did neither, but certainly exposed the criminal nature of the FBI and at the very least specific members in the FBI, to which no one was ever held accountable. I even ran a tally of how many days passed with clear evidence of crimes committed and no one being charged. Yet today, this shape-shifting investigation carries on. We know that Comey lied. We know that Obama lied about Clinton's server. We know Clinton lied about everything. We know that the FBI covered for her. We know that the FBI tried to sabotage Trump. These are all facts with evidence to support them. Yet it seems that every time there's a huge story worthy of covering, a new addition to this never-ending saga gets pushed out while the past crimes get completely ignored. A perfect example of this is a story from yesterday entitled FBI Agents Called Hillary President While Investigating Her. Text, Screw You, Trump, on Election Day. This is just a new headline addressing the same concept, the same story, the same information that we've had for a very long time. Yes, the FBI was manipulating things to support Hillary Clinton. Yes, they hated Donald Trump. They openly talked about how they didn't want him to be president, that they were going to take actions to stop it from happening, that they covered for Hillary Clinton. Yes, we know all this. So yes, this is an important concept, the story overall. But the reason I continue to point out that it's a distraction is because nothing ever comes from it. We've known this information forever. So with the addition of a new Strozek text that shows just how much they hated Donald Trump, it continues to get skewed about some new evidence that we're going to continue to investigate. It's like, no, we know what's going on. This has been happening for a very long time. There is more than enough evidence to hold very specific high-ranking people accountable. And maybe it will come to pass. I certainly hope so. I'm not always trying to claim that it's just never going to happen. But clearly, to date, there is more than enough evidence to hold these people accountable, and it has not happened. So this is exactly how all this works. It's very important to see the way that they manipulate these things. At the very least, I would argue that there are people actively trying to stop these people from being held accountable. Meanwhile, leaking new little tidbits to continue to get you focused here while the world's exploding around us due to U.S. actions overseas, as well as our rights being completely taken away here in the United States. So we have to see how this continues to work. So when I said that it's a distraction, it's because it is a distraction, but not because it's not important. That's a very important thing to take away from this information. Moving on to the next story coming from ABC News, of all places, senators move to prevent Trump from removing U.S. troops in South Korea. A pair of Senate Democrats introduced a bill Wednesday that would prevent President Donald Trump from unilaterally drawing down the American troop presence on the Korean Peninsula. Not necessarily because he says he will, but because they don't want to rely on his word that he won't. Other measures that also tie the president's hands but don't go as far are already closer to being passed as part of an essential military policy bill. Now, the only reason I bring this up from ABC News of all places is because it shows a very ridiculous, glaringly obvious point that Congress is willing to bend over backwards to stop military action from de-escalating. Meanwhile, they just kind of just hand over the military action to a president they claim is a maniac, they claim to want to impeach, yet continue to just give him more military power and more surveillance state power. But yet the moment he actually seems like he's going to stop some kind of a military action, they just freak out and make it seem like, no, this is a bad thing. And they just clearly shows us how much the media is absolutely behind more war, regardless of which side they pretend to be on, right? They constantly claim that one side's this and one side's that. They're both promoting war. Ron Paul made a very interesting point in this story where he makes it pretty clear that they can't do this, that this is something that is unconstitutional, that the president is able to move military battalions in new positions, but what they're supposed to do, what their job is supposed to be, is actually be in the first place being able to stop or declare war. But they have failed to do so for a very long time, allowing the presidents before and Donald Trump just kind of unilaterally declare war, even though they don't call it war, on any country they want. To this point at some kind of terrorist threat and say, okay, we're waging war on a new country. And the Congress just sits back, lets it happen. But the moment we see some kind of de-escalation, oh my God, it's the end of the world. We can't allow President Trump to stop us from going to war. It blew my mind when I saw this. And I've seen a few places talk about it, Ron Paul being one, but it's really not getting addressed. That this is a very obvious example of how far they're willing to go to maintain war, for all the reasons I've talked about over the past year. But very interesting to note on that. For the next story, coming from globalresearch.ca, why isn't anyone talking about the Israeli military coming to Alaska? Israel will be testing their Arrow 3 weapon system from the island of Kodiak, just off the coast of Alaska. 62 shipping containers that have been renovated into sleeping quarters for the Israeli troops have already been shipped to the Pacific Spaceport Complex, Alaska, where the missile test will take place. Yet we've heard nothing on mainstream media about foreign troops coming to train on American soil. Now, somebody recently made a point on Facebook that said, yes, well, we have foreign troops training here all the time, but this is quite different as far as I'm concerned. On one hand, because of the fact that they're currently being investigated for massive war crimes, and the rest of the world is beginning to pretty much point out what's really going on in Palestine, you know, Israel, Gaza, Palestine. But at the same time, we're also talking about launching missiles and from American soil, which is not necessarily the same as training foreign troops on American soil. Very interesting to see this take place while it gets zero attention from the media, which also tends to show you why it's important. When they don't talk about something, that tends to show us that it's an important thing to look at. The secret behind military operations and missile launches is the pollution left behind, mainly from the toxic rocket fuel. That fuel is difficult to transport, ship, store, use, and to clean up. Kodiak is still being cleaned up from the mess made back during World War II. The Pentagon has already admitted that it cannot be cleaned up completely, ever. The reason given for Israel to begin testing their missiles, funded and developed both by Israel and America, is that the Arrow 3 Interceptor is an exo-atmospheric missile. The missile literally flies into space and comes back to crash on Earth's surface. Being that the Mediterranean Sea is too small an area, I guess, to test such a missile, they somehow managed to squeeze their way into pristine Alaskan territory. The question then would be asked, who is Israel targeting? Why do they need missiles to go above and beyond the Mediterranean Sea? I would say that's pretty self-evident, but I'll let you dig into that story for yourself. Moving on to the next story, coming from mintpressnews.com, Russian-Syrian warnings of a coming false flag chemical attack have ring of truth. In recent days, speculation has swirled regarding whether another chemical weapons attack will soon take place in Syria, as sources in both Syrian intelligence and the Russian military have warned that U.S.-backed forces in the U.S.-occupied region of Deir ez-Zor are planning to stage a chemical weapons attack to be blamed on the Syrian government, and also with the direct support and help on the ground of U.S. forces. Concerns that an event could soon take place has only grown since the U.S. government announced this past Thursday that the U.S. would provide $6.6 million over the next year to fund the White Helmets, the controversial humanitarian group that has been accused of staging false flag chemical weapons attacks in the past. Notably, the White Helmets were largely responsible for staging the recent alleged chlorine gas attack in eastern Ghouta, which led the United States, the United Kingdom, and France to attack Syrian government targets. That same attack in eastern Ghouta had been predicted weeks prior by the Russian military and the Syrian government, who are now warning once again that a similar event is likely to occur in recent weeks. We recently talked about this, demonstrating how both Whitney Webb, the author of this article, as well as Brandon Turbeville and many others, had openly written about this well before this happened, writing about it, saying they've already predicted it, this is what's been planned, and then it happened. And Clem, we bombed the country anyway, which turned out to be a complete false flag and just complete staged event, which is pretty generally accepted today by more people than you would imagine. And now we have that happening exactly again, which we also recently talked about. Brandon Turbeville, as well as Whitney Webb, have also written about this beforehand, showing us very clearly that this is something that's already in the works. Many are trying to argue this is Russia putting out propaganda to basically cover for the actions they plan to carry out, which is just nonsensical. There's no reason for it. There's no logical military move there. They would not do this. It doesn't help them in any possible way unless they're trying to frame them as just some kind of maniac that wants to murder people, which just doesn't make sense. Sure, that's possible, but it clearly doesn't make sense. So to see this happening again, it needs to stand out that we see this coming. We've been warned. We need to keep that in mind. An additional and largely overlooked indication that another staged attack could soon take place has been the recent movements of U.S. military assets to the Syrian coast, particularly the deployment of the Harry S. Truman Carrier Strike Group. According to a recent announcement from the U.S. Navy, quote, bringing the Harry S. Truman Strike Group back into fight against ISIS sends a powerful message to our partners that we are committed to peace and security in the region and anywhere threatened by international terrorism. Once again, we demonstrate the incredible flexibility and capabilities of our carrier strike group. We are combat proven and ready to answer the call anytime and anywhere to carry out any mission we are directed. Which are just these comical statements they make, which are, you know, trying to claim one thing, but under subtle, not very subtle undertones of saying the exact opposite. It's just classic propaganda. But I mean, this statement made me laugh because it's like breaking into your neighbor's house at night and then saying, my breaking into your house was to send a message to our other neighbors that I'm committed to everyone's safety and their right to privacy. And I'll just leave my gun here on the table to demonstrate my ability to protect everyone. It's just absurd. That really is how dumb that kind of a statement is, showing you that they're trying to claim it's like a statement of peace when they, you know, get their military in force. And it's funny. That's how these statements continue to go. And it should make us all laugh how transparent they are. The statement also noted that fighter squadrons would be working with the strike group to, quote, conduct precision strikes on ISIS targets as part of the U.S. coalition's Operation Inherent Resolve, which claims to be aimed at eliminating the presence of ISIS in Syria and Iraq. In addition, the strike group, from a report from South Front, which we reported on in the past, it provided evidence that the U.S. had recently established a military garrison near the Jafra oil field, the exact location cited by both Syrian and Russian sources as the likely location for the future staging of a chemical weapons attack. Big surprise. And to reiterate past points, which I've made, we've very clearly shown how this constant claim of continuing to fight ISIS is just not, it's ridiculous. And the point we've showed very clearly that the last remaining pockets of ISIS in Syria, the very pretend reason for them to be there in the first place, are tucked in nicely right next to the U.S. area, completely untouched. And they've continued to leave them untouched as they dance back and forth attacking Syrian forces. Very obvious. And we recently noted on how the U.S. just took a supposed hiatus from its anti-ISIS efforts. And surprise, surprise, during this hiatus, the U.S. also retrained ISIS fighters and regrouped them into small militias, which have been placed under the SDF banner. Very deceptive, but pretty damn obvious. We've shown this. This has been happening for a very long time. The U.S. has also repeatedly threatened the Syrian government not to attack ISIS-held areas, seriously, claiming it would violate their ceasefire, which seemingly only applies when Syria wants to retake its own sovereign territory or attack ISIS. All of these things combined, it's pretty obvious what's actually going on. Speaking of contradictions and hypocrisy, Yemen is another perfect example. The Pentagon has long reiterated its official Orwellian line that the U.S. military's deep level of assistance to the Saudi bombing campaign is actually geared toward reducing civilian harm, which is pretty absurd when you see what's actually happening. For the next article coming from antimedia.com, why there won't be a Yemeni version of white helmets. We should not expect anytime soon to see a Yemeni version of the white helmets to emerge with high-tech cameras, slick new gear, and professional uniforms capturing Yemen's starvation and slow death under U.S., Saudi, and UAE warplanes. Don't expect primetime broadcasts to feature images of emaciated Yemeni babies easily located on social media channels in the thousands. No, there won't be rebel leaders in Yemen beamed into CNN studios via Skype to detail the suffering of civilians under the brutal siege, because this isn't Syria, it's Yemen, where the U.S., whose already integral role is reportedly deepening, and its allies have not only imposed a full military blockade of land, air, and sea on an urban population of 500,000 people, but have also ensured a complete media blackout of on-the-ground footage and reporting. Early in the Yemeni war, the prestigious Columbia Journalism Review produced a short study which attempted to explain, according to its title, why almost no one's covering the war in Yemen. In short, genocide is okay when U.S. allies do it, according to the actions and words of Western political leaders. So the official Pentagon line on Yemen seems to be, and confirmed repeatedly this week, that as it directly assists the Saudis in dropping bombs on civilians, it is actually helping those very civilians. Pretty frustrating to continue to see this. And now this is not meant to imply that the white helmets are actually doing anything positive. It's more of a parody on the concept that the white helmets are supposed to be there to help. But the point is, we're not going to see any effort, even a feigned effort, to try to help these people, because the entire point from top to bottom is to make sure that this topic gets as little coverage as possible. The simple pictures that we've shown and we've reported on and what's actually happening to the civilians, the average people living there. And I just read an article supposedly about civilian people, average people who are currently trapped in the port that they're currently bombing, but that they don't want that information to get out to the mindless masses that still buy into CNN and Fox propaganda, because it does not look good for the U.S. as they point out other countries' human rights violations. It's pretty blatant to see this happen. But again, the ridiculous, hypocritical, and contradictory claims of bombing people to supposedly help the people. This has been going on for decades, but it's never been this obvious and this acute. Moving on to the next story and the final story of the day, coming from the ntmedia.com, UN rejects plan for immediate ceasefire in Yemen port. A Swedish call at the UN Security Council for an immediate ceasefire in the Yemen port of Hodeida was derailed during a closed session Friday. The US and Britain both expressed opposition to the measure, no surprise there, designed to prevent Saudi-led forces backed by the US from attacking a port responsible for feeding 8.4 million civilians. Combine that with past predictions, and we're looking at close to 20 million people on the brink of starvation. Britain insisted on the meeting being a closed session, meaning specific comments during the hearing and the reiteration from UN officials of the humanitarian crisis threatening to kill millions would not be done for public to see, which is exactly what we're talking about. U.S. officials did not publicly comment on why they're opposed to the ceasefire, but likely as a reflection of the Saudis really wanting to attack the city. British Ambassador Karen Pierce said their opposition was made purely based on, quote, the British national interest. It's not clear exactly how preventing food being delivered to Yemeni civilians is in the British national interest, but this is likely a shorthand way of saying they too are backing the Saudi interest in seizing the city, and that the interest is to keep selling weapons to the Saudis to keep bombing Yemenis with. Very clearly showing you what's really behind all of this. And this hypocrisy is resounding and overwhelming. And we have to really begin to recognize this and spread this information around. And those that continue to deny the reality of the situation for whatever partisan reason just baffle me. Because the truth is, the facts are all readily available and undisputed. Civilians are dying. That is a fact. It's just the perception around it that gets manipulated. But somehow, I don't understand how we can just disregard the fact that innocent people are dying, whatever the consequence, whatever the actions behind it, which is something we see generally apply to a lot of U.S. allies. But in this specific case, the U.N. has condemned what's going on there. Multiple human rights organizations have spoken out about it. Yet the U.S. military is directly involved in this effort. How does one justify that? Regardless of the context, how can we be okay with our tax dollars going to support genocide or the funding of known and verifiable terrorist organizations, all while calling out others without the same luxury of facts for a fraction of the deaths? The same goes for Israel. Verifiable civilian deaths on a massive scale, almost unprecedented today, in both of these locations, more so than even the fabricated lies that have been spread about U.S. enemies. Yet, guess that's okay, because Hamas, or in Yemen's case, because Iran. The simple involvement, or more accurately, the accusation of the involvement of a U.S. enemy somehow justifies the civilian deaths as just collateral damage for some vague and hazy greater good that never seems to be in reach. Human rights just no longer apply. International law just no longer applies. How can we allow this as Americans? Even if all of this is being done with the best of intentions, and they truly feel their actions are somehow for the good of humanity, which is clearly not, and they clearly do not. But even if that was the case, they are obviously doing the exact opposite, and they have a long track record of making the same mistakes with the same catastrophic results. Yet we know those results were the plan all along, and all the information is there if you allow yourself to see it. But either way, the fact that we allow partisan propaganda and blind patriotism to justify this ongoing hypocrisy and state-sanctioned genocide is truly despicable. And I am embarrassed to be associated with the actions of this government and how it tarnishes what I know this country can be, what this country's people can be and are capable of being, if not poisoned by the sinister and pernicious actions of those who abuse the people's desire to believe. They puppeteer the people into horrible choices and pat them on the back, telling them they did it for country, while that is demonstrably false. And then they stand back and allow the American people to take the blame, take the hatred they created, and use it all over again to propagandize the next generation into war, saying, see how much they hate you? They hate your freedom. But sadly, as Goethe said, none are more hopelessly enslaved than those who falsely believe they are free. For more information on the topics discussed, make sure you check out thelastamericanvagabond.com or any of the important independent sources in the show notes below. And as always, question everything. Come to your own conclusions. Stay vigilant.